Now, if you'll join me with our responsive reading found on page 8, oops, on page 790. Bless our God, O peoples, let the sound of God's praises be heard, who has kept us among the living and has not let our feet slip.
For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried.
You brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our loins.
You let people ride over our heads.
We went through fire and through water.
Yet you have brought us forth to a spacious place.
I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vows, that which my lips utter and my mouth promised when I was in trouble.
I will offer you burnt offerings of families
when the smoke of the sacrifice of rams. I will make an offering of bulls and goats. Come and hear, all you who worship God, and I will tell what God has done for me.
I cried aloud to God, who was highly praised with my tongue.
If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly God has listened and has given heed to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me.
Our first scripture reading is from the book of Jeremiah from the Old Testament. You can find it on page 687 in your pew Bible. Jeremiah was a prophet back in the time when Jerusalem and the Judah and Israel were being taken captive into Babylon. And this letter he wrote was to correct an error that the people had, another prophet had told them they would only be gone for a short time. And he corrects that error. Hear these words. These are the words of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the remaining elders among the exiles, and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will find your welfare. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson today comes from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 15. Can be found on page 200 in your pew Bible's New Testament. Hear these words. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. That is my gospel, for which I suffered hardship, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. By the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, so that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is sure. If we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of this, and warn them before God that they are to avoid wrangling over words, which does no good but only ruins those who are listening. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved by Him, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly explaining the word of truth. The word of God for the people of God.
Well, we continue in the Gospel of Luke, Gospel of Jesus Christ according to Luke. And today we're in chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Just a whole cavalcade of stories and parables and descriptions. And today is no different. If you'd like to follow along, something I highly encourage you to do, if you open your pew Bible to the New Testament and find page 75, it's there on the bottom right side of page 75. So, Luke 17, chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And that's the image on the front of your bulletin. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here and I'm going to bet that you've had the experience of looking at yourself in a photograph. Is that true? Never seen yourself in a photograph? How'd you look? Yvonne said, "Beautiful." I'm kidding. Well, I think that is surely an example of human vanity. But I think that all of us are fascinated to see ourselves in a photograph. A few weeks ago, I was looking through the pictures that Jane took when we were floating the Colorado River in June. To be honest, I was both fascinated and repulsed to see myself in those photos. Who is that paunchy old bald guy? Can that really be me? Surely I look cooler and younger and more handsome than that guy in the photograph. Apparently not. But that brings up a larger issue for each of us. Do you see yourself as other people see you? And much more importantly, do you see yourself as God sees you? A similar idea. Do we see ourselves as a congregation, as other people see us? Do we see ourselves as God sees us? In my role as pastor, I've gotten several advertisements from different photography companies, folks who wanted to provide us with a church directory. You'd be amazed at how many people do this. Sometimes they send me a directory from another church as a way to market their product. And as I look through those directories, it's interesting. I don't know any of those people, so they look just like regular folks to me. Some old, some young, some serious, some silly, some goofy, you know, human. But it's entirely different when I look through our own church directory. If I'm completely honest, I got to admit that our directory is the same as those that I get from those companies. pretty much the same mixture of old, young, serious, silly, goofy human beings, regular folks. But I see this directory entirely differently. Because I know each of you and have come to love all of you, I see our directory as a picture book of love. Maybe that's how God sees us too. This story from the Bible, from the Gospel of Luke, of the 10 lepers, is an interesting one, and I think it deserves our theological reflection. In Bible times, at the time of Jesus, folks with leprosy were feared and ostracized. It was believed at that point that leprosy was contagious. So these people with this variety of diseases were forced to live in leper colonies far from towns, far from cities. It was also the common belief of that time that your lot in life was determined by how well or how poorly you followed God's commandments. If you were an upright, righteous person, God would reward you with prosperity and good fortune. If, on the other hand, you were a sinner, God would punish you with a debilitating disease or some other bad fortune. In short, you reaped what you sowed. That was the belief system of most religious people as well. So when you looked at someone with leprosy, you knew that this person was a sinner. Their mottled, diseased skin was an unmistakable sign of their sinfulness and their separation from God. On top of all that, at least one of these lepers, and probably more, at least one of these guys was a Samaritan. Now, as you may remember from Bible studies, Samaritans were on the lowest end of the social ladder. These were people who were unclean and unwelcome, outcasts by any other name. So there's kind of great irony in the fact that it's a Samaritan that returns to thank Jesus. Jesus knew differently about these 10 men. He could see into their hearts. So when the 10 lepers cried out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us," Jesus did just that. Jesus loved each of these men, despite what society believed about them. So he cleansed them of their leprosy and sent them on their way to the priests to show the holy men what had happened. The story continues. As Scripture says, "Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan." Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to the former leper, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." Now, Scripture doesn't say this explicitly, but I know in my heart that Jesus not only healed these 10 men of their leprosy, he also forgave them of their sins as well. Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. Surely, there's a lesson here for each of us and for all of us. I want you to think about that experience of looking at your own image in a photograph. And think also about this story of the 10 men with leprosy. When you look at yourself, are you able to honestly see the person within? Do you see yourself as others see you? Do you see yourself as God sees you? Are you honest enough with yourself to admit your sins to God? It's not like the beliefs of Bible times. People look at you and they don't see the leprosy of your sins. They cannot see the mottled, diseased skin, and they cannot see your sinful nature. But God can, and God does see it all. And maybe it's a case of being close to the reality that's right in front of you to really see it. Maybe each of us has become too accomplished at explaining away our sins, at not taking our sins seriously. Surely it's not that bad. It's not that big a deal. No one was hurt. Surely God didn't even notice. But sin is anything that separates you from God, anything that is contrary to God's will for you. And maybe it's a case of being too close to the reality right in front of you to see it. Maybe you've been coming to church so long that you don't really remember the amazing power of God's grace. God loves you absolutely and unconditionally. God loves you no matter what. Not because of anything you say or anything you do. No, God looks at the reality of your situation. All of the sins that others cannot see. All of the sins that you're unwilling to admit, even to yourself. And God is ready right now to forgive you of all of your sins, bar none. If you admit your sins to God, if you ask for God's forgiveness, if you do your best to live a different life, then God will cleanse you of your sins. Jesus has already paid the price for your sins. The debt is paid, and you are free from the power of sin and death. Imagine that. You are healed. You are forgiven. Each of us needs to fully understand the magnitude of what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. And each of us needs to be thankful for the cleansing that Jesus has provided. God be praised. But we need to go further. Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. Jesus said that to the man who was cleansed of his leprosy and cleansed of his sin. And Jesus is saying that to each of us and to all of us together. Get up and go on your way. Jesus means that we are to move forward on the way of God's kingdom, to walk with Jesus on the path of God's will. So what will you do in response to God's fabulous grace? As Christians, we do not believe in works righteousness. There's nothing we can do to earn God's love. But there is plenty that we can do in response to God's love as a way of honoring God. Each of us needs to discern God's will for our lives in this moment. Each of us needs to figure out what we can do right now to serve God's people, to support God's church, and to serve God. And together, we need to discern God's direction for our church, and we need to respond as a community of faith. My sisters and brothers, you need to express your gratitude to God for your cleansing. Gratitude in action. Shalom. Amen.